Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. Let me apologise right at the beginning, which you should never begin a meeting by apologising, should you? But let me apologise right at the beginning. It's a bit of a family dinner this morning, and you'll get if you don't already know, you'll get the drift of that as we're going along. Yvan and Deborah are going to take part this morning. Amal and Lev are going to do the Bible reading, and I drew the short straw, so I'm leading it. And let me give you the notices first of all. There's going to be a safari supper for Christian Aid on the 14th of September. If you want any information about that, tickets are £6, children £3, £15 for a family ticket. If you want any information on that, please look at the poster. And you'll be interested to know that Nick has fitted a post letterbox for us in the front door. We've only lasted 160 years without one, and we've got this mod con all of a sudden. So there's also a key safe next to the back door, and when the post office eventually closes, the key will be in the key safe next to the back door. Those of you who need it will be notified the number of the key safe. I think that's about all. Let me read a verse of scripture to you. Christ entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. That's why we can sing hymn number 582. 582, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. 582. Self in thee, Lord, the water and the blood from the river side has flowed, be of sin the dove. Almighty God, we thank you that we can sing of the glories of what the Lord Jesus did when he left the throne of glory in heaven and came down to earth so that one day he would die for sinners like us at Calvary, to bear away the sins of your people and to make them into people quite different from what they were born. For we thank you, Lord, that once we're born again, we're your children and we can know you, we can love you, we can serve you. And thank you, Lord, for the privileged position in which so many of us here this morning stand. Pray particularly for those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. And we ask, Lord, that even this morning you will show them the Saviour for themselves and bring them to his feet. And we pray that you will grant to them the grant of your grace, faith and love for the Saviour, so that they can go home rejoicing in the greatness of what you've done for them as well as for the rest of us. And we rejoice before you for your goodness. Lord, we admit that it was necessary that the Lord Jesus should die because our sins kept us from knowing you. And we thank you that he came into the world to deal with our sins. Forgive us that so often we love our sin rather than love the Saviour. And forgive us, Lord, for those many occasions when we've broken your law, and sometimes deliberately and sometimes accidentally. But Lord, we pray that you will grant to us a knowledge of the forgiveness of sins through that sacrifice of Christ. We thank you that for those of us who know you as Saviour, if we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are just, you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we pray that you'll grant to us here this morning a
healthy hatred of sin and a love of righteousness, a love of you, Lord, that we want to please and serve you. Thank you for your great goodness to us over the past week since last we met together like this. We ask, Lord, that you will guide and direct our steps. We thank you that we live in very pleasant places. We thank you that you've blessed us materially in astonishing ways. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you for the greatness of your faithfulness to us. And we ask that you'll make us faithful stewards of all the rich things that you've entrusted to our care. May we live to the praise of your glory. Lord, we thank you that in spite of the fact that you're God, you want people like us to know and to love and to serve you. We thank you for that undeserved love, that free mercy that you've shown us. We who deserve your wrath, you've shown us mercy in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you bore away our sin and its guilt and its punishment for us there at Calvary, so that this morning those of us who trust you can enter your presence and know your blessing upon us. Help us to this end and guide in all that's said and done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you receive a prayer letter from Deborah and Ivan every now and again. And Ivan's going to come and talk to us. No, he's not. Deborah's going to come as well. Talk to us, tell us something about what they're doing in Beirut. Thank you. With Arab World Ministries.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
I'll introduce ourselves first. I'm Debbie. This is Ivan. There's Amal there. She's 11. Wave, Amal. There she is. And Lev, he's 9. 10. 10. Sorry, he's 10. And Seb, who turned 7 yesterday. And he went to the Big Sheep, and it was raining a lot. But, hey, we had fun. So that was good. So we have been in Beirut, in Lebanon, for the last 4 years. And thank you for your support during that time, first of all. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. I'll tell you a little bit about some of the things that you've contributed to over that time in a minute. We've been working in a small church and community centre in the southern part of Beirut. And most of our work there has been revolved around the refugees that have come into the area. So we work within the church, we do different activities within the church, but over those 4 years, we've developed a lot of work and outreach to the refugees that have literally moved into the area next door to us. Most of those people come from Raqqa. You may have heard of that area in Syria on the news. It's where IS has a very large stronghold. So obviously most of those people want to move out, and they've come to Beirut. So we've seen various things that are needed by those people. They need food help. They need help with medical things. That's one of the things that your money has contributed to. We managed to arrange an operation for a small boy who had a very severe squint. And he's had that corrected now, and he's doing fine. He's very happy. And his mother is extremely thankful, actually. She's been amazed by the support that she's had. People are praying for her in the UK. She can't believe that's even happening. And she's very thankful for the help that she's had. So on her behalf, I say thank you to you for that. And also, we've been doing an education program for the last 3 years. We've been teaching the children maths and English and Arabic, and I've had the fun of doing arts and crafts with them for the last few years. That's really not my thing, but the internet is a very useful thing, and you can take everything off the internet and use it with the kids. So we've been doing that. Now, one of the great opportunities of that program is that we get to teach the kids about the Bible every day. They're all Muslim kids. They're all from some are more liberal, some are more fundamental families, but none of them have a problem with us teaching them the Bible every morning. And that's been something that's gone on now from one sibling 1 year to the next year and to the next year. So that's a huge opportunity to get to know these families and witness to them as well. We are now here for a couple of months avoiding the heat and the humidity of Beirut very successfully. It's been a bit cold. But we're going back, and we're actually going to be starting in a new church when we go back. So we've moved away from the church we've been with for 4 years, and we're now going to start in a new place which has an even bigger work with refugees. That's a church that's grown from about 60, 80 people in the last 5 or so years to they now have about 1,000 people in various locations in Beirut that they're working with, and they have various services in different places. So we're hoping to help them out a bit with some discipleship, because that's a nice problem that they have now, that they have too many people to deal with, and so we're going to start working with them. I'm also spending my time volunteering at a preschool. It's a preschool that aims to give a really good early education to the children of domestic workers, of refugees, and the kind of the poorest of the Lebanese in our area. I'm helping to manage the nursery, and it's something we have about 60, 65 kids in the nursery. It's a great place. It's from age 1 to 4 years old. It's a fun, happy place, and because it's subsidized mainly by funds that come from the States, we have a fundraiser in the States, it means that these kids can come to a nursery where they have a really good base to their education, and then they head off into normal school after that, which otherwise they wouldn't be able to access. So, yeah, you can carry on.
I'm not going to say much after that, apart from really that my work, apart from what Debbie mentioned, is involved in a project called Al Masira, which literally means the journey. Been actually involved in that since 2007, after we were kicked out from Egypt, if some of you know about that. But it's basically a video course which is aimed to help Christians to engage with their neighbors, their refugee friends, or whoever they feel that the Lord has brought in their path, someone that they are willing to engage and understand who Jesus is and what the Bible teaches about him. So it's been amazing, particularly in the last 2 years, not just in the Arab world and the Muslim world. There are some places we didn't think about that the Lord is going to be using it. It's been used extensively in China, in Indonesia, and now in Latin America. People are very interested in it. But mostly it's been the sort of the exodus of refugees coming to Europe that really been you know, a blessing to the churches all over the Europe and the West, really. We have regularly hear of people in their you know, groups of 5 or 10 meeting up and doing the course, which is about 12, 13 weeks, and developing friendships, and later on committing and getting baptized. So it's been an amazing journey. We are also actually dealing with the pressures of the demand is becoming so high, and we are a small team, so that's a good problem to deal with. So I'm working in the capacity of the co-director of the organization, so it involves a bit of traveling, involves a bit of teaching and training, and just the regular stuff, which letting people know about the resource so they can get their hands on it and use it. So that's what I'm doing.
Thanks very much. Now you know some of the things that we were up to over Easter. And the church they're going to is very interesting. We went to the Baptist church that they're going to be working with when they go back. We went to a Good Friday service there. And it was called a cross service, if I remember rightly. I counted 110 crosses. And then they told the story. They got the kids to decorate these crosses as they wanted to, and they asked each of the kids who brought their cross up, why did you decorate it like that? And some of them had red on it, and they said, because that's where the Lord Jesus shed his blood for us, you see. And some of them had different bits and pieces, and they sort of told the gospel through these decorating crosses. It was, I started off seeing all these crosses thinking, am I really in a Baptist church, or am I some sort of idolatrous set up? And by the time I'd left, I was quite impressed. So it's amazing how the Lord uses all these different things. But that's the church they're going to be working with. And That's fine. Let's have a word of prayer for them before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that report we've just had from Deborah and Ivan, and we thank you for the way in which you've used them and the children over these past few years. And we ask that you will grant to them as they plan to go back. We pray that you will guide them in all their preparations, and that you will prepare the ground for them when they get there, that you'll lead them to people whose hearts are prepared by you, and that you'll open their hearts to the gospel and use them for your honour and the extension of your kingdom. Lord, we commit them to you. We pray for their safety. We pray for their material provision. We ask that you'll bless them in the fellowship that they enjoy in the church where they'll be working. Pray that they'll settle into it happily and well. And we ask, Lord, that the church may be richly blessed through their ministry. We commend them to you, and we'll ask your gracious hand upon them and the whole of the family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's have another hymn. It's 367. 367, Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. 367.
Jesus is Lord.
Gracious voice from
grace, all life
is
now reached
to your
throne. Lord, but
grace,
Jesus is Lord.
Let's bow before God again in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we think of all the blessings that you've heaped upon us, we stand amazed, and we thank you. But when we hear of these refugees in all their need, we want to pray for them, and we ask, Lord, that somehow you will move your people throughout the world to make provision for those who are in desperate conditions. And we pray that the result may be that many thousands all over the world may turn to the Lord Jesus and trust him as Saviour, because they see the transforming power of Christ at work in your people. And we ask, Lord, that by your mercy you will save many of these refugees, even through their displacement. And we pray that you will grant that Satan's kingdom may be rolled back, and the glory of the Lord Jesus will spread into many more lives. But Lord, we not only pray for the work amongst refugees, we pray for work in other parts of the world too, where the gospel is penetrating Satan's darkness. And we pray that the light of the Lord Jesus may dawn on many dark lives. And we pray that in your mercy, you will use the work of missionaries all over the world for your glory in these days. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray about the needs of our own country as well as other countries. And we pray that you will grant that in these days, those in positions of influence in government, whether it's national or local, may be guided and overruled by you, even if they don't realise it. And we may see justice and truth triumphing. And we may see evil and error put down. We think of the moral climate of our land. And we ask, Lord, that somehow you will restore to us principles, biblical principles, of how we should relate one to the other. And we pray that even the government of our land may somehow be guided and directed, that you will demonstrate your glory and your power in accomplishing your will in the lives of millions. Lord, hear our cry. We commit ourselves to you in our personal need. You know the backgrounds from which we come. You know our medical histories. You know, Lord, our financial state. You know the condition of our families. You know the position that we have in society. Some of us, you know about the needs of our work. And some of us have the needs of our recreation as well, for you to guide and overrule. And we pray that in your mercy you will meet with us here this morning and counsel us according to our need and according to your plan and purpose. Hear our cry and bless us to this end, because we come before you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to ask Kamal and Lev if they'll come and do the Bible reading for us, please.
Deuteronomy 32, and I will focus on verses 10 to 12. It says, "In a desert land, the Lord found him, found his people. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him, led his people. No foreign God was with him." It was exactly about 2 months ago when I was taking part in a conference in Beirut that these words came out to me. They impacted me so strongly that I really, all what I wanted to do is just share with you what the Lord has done through these words. This conference was about the topic of refugees, the refugees, and the body of Christ, the church. Basically, it was wrestling with what should be the reaction of the church be in the light of the massive and that ongoing exodus of people seeking refuge and protection from the destructions that are happening in Syria, in Iraq, and many other places. It seems there is no stopping for the terrible things that we see and hear. Don't know if you remember, about a year ago, it was the image of that little child, this little Kurdish child who was washed out on the shore. And all of us wept and felt, what is this? What's going on in this world? 2 days ago, 3 days ago, while I was sitting, I looked at the news. And there was this image of this little boy, 5-year-old, who had just been pulled out of the rubble. And he was just dazed, sitting in that chair, in the ambulance, bloody and all covered in ash. I just didn't know what to think at that moment. There's so much suffering. A peace and justful solution. We read, a God of justice. Seems far away on the horizon. In the past 4 years, just in the small church where we've been serving, which is just has about 25, 30 families up and down, 5 Syrian families have already immigrated to the West out of those 25. 2 are in this process. Just in the next couple of months, they'll be gone. As we go back, we might see them or not. And 1 family are, you know, thinking about, are we going to apply? Are we going to go or not? Just out of this small church, imagine where the rest of the church, the world, in Lebanon and other places. As a matter of fact as well, as soon as we arrived here about 2 weeks ago, somebody just called us from Lebanon and said, my Kurdish friend has just arrived to the UK, and please, can you help them? So we just called up and find out where they are. And they were sent to a place called Harrogate. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Of all places. Debbie said, what on earth is this place in the UK? We don't know what it is. So, just at least looking at those Syrians leaving their country, it's staggering. Don't know about this. Lebanon has officially, like, it's about 5 million people in its population. And at this moment, officially, they have 1.5, if not 2 million refugees living in Lebanon. Lebanon is the country the size of half the size of Wales, has no resources, torn by years of civil war, no infrastructure. They don't have a president. For the last 3 years, they didn't have, they don't, and they still don't have a president. And during just about a year and a half, quarter of its population increased, and they all were migrants. Just so we also understand, the relationship between the Lebanese and Syrians is not nice. The Lebanese really don't like the Syrians. They don't have a love relationship or admiration towards them. Syria was seen always as the occupying force, the ones who came to sap all the resources of Lebanon during the civil war, particularly after the Israel pulled out in the 80s. And they were forced basically to leave in the 90s. There was a whole uproar. There was like a kind of an Arab Spring in the 90s in Lebanon, and they're forced to leave. So they don't like them. When Debbie talks to our friends who are from, it comes a cleaner we have, she's from Sri Lanka. And for the first time, the Sri Lankan lady, who are seen in the society as very low, are saying that we feel actually we are on a much more respected than the Syrians. So it's that bad. And it's more so for the Christian community in Lebanon. You see, most of these refugees or these migrants are Sunni Muslims fleeing from Syria. And as you heard, Debbie said, our area where we live is mostly people are from Raqqa. And Raqqa is the capital of the Islamic State in Syria. So genuinely, the Lebanese Christians are afraid, are suspicious, and threatened by these people, let alone the cultural clash that exists. I can assure you that many people in the Biqa Valley, which is the valley where lots of the camps are there, maybe have husbands or sons, are maybe fighting within the IS. So it's very, very tense place. The people, you know, suddenly are facing this huge number of people, and what are they going to do with them? And there is problems. So if Europe or the UK, North America or Australia think they have a migrant crisis, perhaps, or they are feeling threatened by this, perhaps they need to see what the rest of the world is struggling with. And it is a wider and a bigger issue. We're not even speaking about the Yemenis who are fleeing to Ethiopia. Imagine people are going to take refuge in Ethiopia. Or the Sudanese, they're still in war. Libyans crossing by their hundreds and dying in the Mediterranean. So we must ask the question, what is God doing in our day? What is he up to? What are his purposes in allowing this to happen on such a large scale? I don't know, when I heard this statistic, I was like, really? Is this true? Apparently, today, 450 million people in the world live outside the place where they were born in. If you take 7 billion, like this is half a billion people living outside the place where they were born. It's staggering. God is moving people in their masses in ways that not happened in centuries. And it's happening everywhere. But why? Why is he doing that? Paul, the apostle, explaining to the Athenians when he was standing in the Areopagus in Acts 17:26, gave this answer. I'll read it for you. The Lord of heaven and earth, who made the world and everything in it, from one man made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Why? Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Brothers and sisters, we indeed are living in unique times. In the midst of these unspeakable atrocities that are happening, brutal senseless acts of shedding blood happening every day. The terror that is reaching our doorsteps. Leon, just a few months ago. What a horrible thing. It's coming here, everywhere in Berlin. But he is in control and he is working out his purposes. This is alongside some fierce opposition that is taking against the gospel and his church, particularly in the Muslim world. The Spirit of God has been moving and shaking the foundations and the grip of Islam that seems so solid and impenetrable. I don't know if you remember also about a year and a half ago, there was 20 Egyptians in Libya. They were beheaded. 20 Egyptians just caught and beheaded. But that story made headlines in the church in the Middle East for a different reason, because it was called the story of the Eritrean martyr. Now, not many people, I don't know if you know, there was another person, apart from the 20 Egyptians, standing there with these people, and he was a Muslim Eritrean. When these brothers and sisters, these brothers, no, there weren't any women between them. These 20 brothers, despite the threat of leaving Jesus or denouncing Jesus, stood up and said, "We will follow Jesus even to our death," and then being slaughtered in front of this Eritrean Muslim guy. When they came to him, he said, "I want to be like these people." And he was killed. That is beyond everything we can experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So shall we just sing that? Go ahead.
Thanks, Ivan. Without wanting to take anything away from what Ivan's been saying, this was the text that was given to June and me when we left our third church and moved to Peckham, to Rite Aid Chapel in Peckham. And I don't really know anything about Peckham and the Rite Aid Chapel, but it used to be the most influential Baptist church in the country. And I was to become the pastor. And we went from a church with 120 members, we went to a church with 330. And I said to the church secretary, "You know, it's a different league. Don't know whether I can cope with it. And I hope I don't make an absolute mess of it." And he gave us this text. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led them," and so on. And he did. He did exactly that for us. We went through some pretty awful situations in Peckham. But every time the Lord made sure that his wings were underneath us to catch us when we were falling. And it's another illustration of exactly what Ivan was saying about God stirring up people throughout our world. Well, let's sing together number 880 as our closing hymn. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. Number 880.